You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
I wish they made the original version of the script that George R. R. Martin wrote. I think that that really would have been...
I didn't know he wrote. No, we didn't. I'm kidding.
Oh,
sorry.
Can you imagine?
I was like, oh, that's, I want to see that.
There'd have been a lot more titties.
Yeah, and a lot more death. Well, death.
Yeah.
Just in general, you know? I mean, I was trying to decide as an opener between that or... Man, it's so cool they finally told Return of the King from Smaug's point of view. Really different viewpoint. Yeah, we're the Usual Suspects. We're covering the remake, or I should say reboot, really, because it's so different, of Disney's Pete Dragon. I'm Chris.
Frank.
JC.
Rob.
Yeah, this is from David Lowery, who's not really known for this sort of thing. I mean, I guess his big break was Ain't Them Body Saints in 2013 with Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
I really, really enjoyed that movie. That's what made me want to see this movie.
Yeah, I remember liking it when I saw it, but I just don't remember much about it now.
Yeah.
But you know how that goes.
It's very, very sort of Badlands-esque 50s Texas bank robbers.
Which, decidedly, Pete's Dragon is not.
Yes. Yes. Definitely different.
So in this particular version of it, after a, like, literally opening scene where you're like, the moment, like, you've seen all three of the characters in the car, you're like, those two in the front are going to die in, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And sure enough, as the young version of Pete, you know, he's just, like, 5 years old when the movie starts, he's in the car with his parents, and they get into a car accident, they die. He's out in the woods being menaced by wolves. And who comes to save him? A big furry green dragon, which, thankfully, the movie doesn't feel
need
to do one of those. We're going to keep it hidden until,
you know,
because Gareth Edwards wasn't directing this. Flash to quite a few years later, what's her name?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Right,
Jessica Chastain.
Light. She's a forest ranger. She's married to Wes Bentley, who owns a lumber mill. That seems like an unlikely pairing, doesn't it?
A bit, yeah.
His brother is Carl Urban, who's the, you know, of the family. He's the one who likes to break the rules. We need more trees. We need more money. He's the ostensibly bad guy of the pick, if you will.
Yeah.
And they've got a daughter played by Una Lawrence, young actress who's been appearing in a lot of stuff lately, a feeling we'll be seeing a lot more of. But they basically come across the now 10-year-old version of Pete and are like, well, you can't be running around the woods. You can't do that. You're a 10-year-old kid. They take him back in reluctantly, and he's like, no, my dragon! Not without my dragon.
I wanted there to be a scene where Elliot is like regurgitating his food into Pete's mouth.
Right?
Do you think maybe that's how he got fed?
Yeah, because they said he's like remarkably well nourished, you know? Maybe he was drinking dragon milk.
Yeah,
because
all he eats is like one mushroom.
Yeah.
That's not like enough.
The entire course of the film, no.
Yeah. He's a diet. I did, in fact, wonder about that. I was like, what is he eating out in the... Maybe the you know, the dragon goes into the city at convenience stores at, like, 4 in the morning when the clerk's just like, whatever, it's over there.
Hides himself as a brick wall or something until it's not looking in.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. He can camouflage himself, which is why, arguably, the movie says that... Why no one's seen him, even though it's today's technology, yada, 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 whatever.
Don't worry about it.
Except for Robert Redford,
Crazy Robert Redford,
who's the old guy who, I guess, did they actually say he was Bryce Dallas Howard's dad?
I'm just going to go with
that scene. I think they're a couple redheads, so I'm going to assume they're related.
Yeah, it says on Wikipedia it says they are, but I don't remember her ever calling him dad.
The locket, the compass.
Yeah.
That was a young Robert Redford.
Was it? I couldn't tell. Yeah, she has a locket with a picture originally said, oh, it's my parents. And I was like, I just assumed her parents were dead. And Robert Redford's just a grumpy old man who she goes and takes care of with the Meals on Wheels or something. Yeah, he's like, I saw a dragon. And people are like, whatever. But Robert Redford's there to be Robert Redford.
It's more convincing than Mickey Rooney was at it, though.
Yeah. He's there to be the guy who's like, you gotta believe in magic. He's there to be Robert Redford.
He's there to spell out the meaning of the movie.
Which he does
that
great.
Was the very like Disney-esque portion of it, where it's like, there's a dragon in the woods. Everybody is sort of on board with it being there and that it's a real thing, but then in the third act, Robert Redford's got to spit out the, but, you know, magic.
Yeah.
Because magic.
Because magic, that's why.
Oh, magic. Yes.
But I will say that translates to a nice moment when eventually, as of course, I mean, this is hardly a spoiler, that, you know, when the family does, in fact, come to terms face to face with the dragon, and, you know, Robert Redford's there, and, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard is, as most people would be, pretty much crying. Mm-hmm. He's like, see, I told you, magic. And I was like, okay, fair enough. Yeah. It's a big furry green dragon that that acts like a lovable golden retriever and is pretty awesome.
Yeah. It makes noises that the original dragon tended to make, too. Maybe I've just seen the original too many times, but I thought it was...
This is one of those things where it's a reboot or reimagining, however. I think Disney uses the words reimagining in all of their marketing materials. This shouldn't be one of those instances where you're worried about your childhood being ruined, which is always a stupid argument to begin with. Mm-hmm. The memories I have of the original... I remember it being a good movie that I enjoyed as a kid, and I've heard people say they've revisited it, and it's not a very good movie. It's over 2 hours long, which I didn't realize the original was over 2 hours long. I didn't think I liked movies that long when I was a kid.
Yeah, that surprised me, too.
It's like Helen Reddy numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why I never saw it again, because my mom played the soundtrack so many times.
Oh, really?
I never want to see this fucking movie again.
Very, very highly a musical. A lot of musical numbers in the original. I do remember that. And so... This one, yeah, no musical numbers.
Nope.
It's
a lot of music, though.
Yeah, a lot of music. Yeah, I thought the score was pretty good. Yeah.
Swelling scores. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. It's a dragon, holy shit.
A lot of indie folk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I dug that part of it.
But then that was what the original was, too. I mean, the original was made in the 70s, and it really, you look at it, it really does pre-sort of like peace and acceptance, and everyone is, you know... Should be loved.
Well, I mean, that being said, you can tell this is the new Disney because the original had villains that were straight up villains.
Yeah, Shelley Winters was like...
Yeah, and the dude who wants to, like, turn the dragon into, like, chop up his bones for medicine and stuff. And here, the villains just, like, at worst are like, I just didn't understand.
I saw, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they're not villains. They're at least trying to make it like, look, you know, just give everybody a chance.
Now, did you guys think this was a period piece? Because I started to think about halfway through the movie, I was like, they don't have cell phones. I haven't seen a new
phone. They're all driving old cars.
It seemed like it was set like in the 80s.
I'm forgetting.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Well, because he just brought up that the original was done in the 70s. And I remember it was done in the 70s.
Yeah, but
it
took place in the 1900s.
So I wonder, this may very well have been a period piece, which
affect the movie one way or the other.
No. Well, I always thought it was interesting in the way that it sort of... I always love it when movies show kids that aren't depend on technology.
Yeah.
And this one, I love that this one did it. It showed that, you know, that there is adventure out there. There is something beyond a little screen in front of you.
I do feel like it would have cheapened it because, yeah, if it would have been set in 2016, you feel like the hunters would have immediately grabbed some kind of radar or like
they would have had drones.
Saw the dragon would be like...
Yeah, they would have set over with a plane with like that detects heat signatures, and that thing would have been camouflage my ass.
Someone would have come across it playing Pokemon Go.
Right. Hey, look, I caught a. Oh god!
Now, how much is that thing worth? That joke totally would have been in there. Yes.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, just it almost has to be a period piece, just for the obvious reason that when it does, in fact, appear in front of a lot of people, not everyone is immediately there with their cell phones taking pictures.
Exactly. And also, why they can't find the dragon.
Yeah.
For so long.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But it doesn't...
It doesn't affect the story one way or the other. It's not super important.
Nothing about... It doesn't do the whole, remember this song from this year? Or like, hey, wasn't this toy great when you were a kid? Don't do any of that because it doesn't matter. It's not pertinent to the story. And ultimately, this is a pretty lean story that kind of stick to just... You know, the central idea, the kid is back in the city with other people, but he wants to go back to his dragon, but he needs to have human companionship, but he doesn't want to lose his dragon either. Yeah. Something we've all been through.
It was a little too lean for me, actually. I thought it was so trite and kind of cardboard, to be honest with you. And all the characters were as well. I couldn't, you know, I didn't know anybody was.
Well, that's kind of what I meant in a way. I think I like it. But this is a movie Disney made no mistake. This is for your kids.
Right.
This is not one that we're expecting, you know, like adults to go absolutely wild crazy about, like the way they do some of their theatrical cartoons or what have you. They're like, no, this is for your kids. This is for you to bond with your kids over.
But I did like this more than I feel like I'm on an island with this one because it seemed like everybody loved the live action Jungle Book. I didn't really like it at all. number one being the only human you see in the entire movie is the kid, and I thought the kid in The Jungle Book was a terrible actor. Mm-hmm. And this one, I thought both of the kids were pretty good, and they have really good, you know, adult actors around them. And you know, what was his name, David Lowery? I think the way he shot a lot of this, like we mentioned the opening, how it was very apparent that his parents are about to die in a horrible car accident. It didn't have that like jolting, like them crashing into a tree or something. Like it kind of cut to silence, and it's shot in a really cool way. It sort of eased you into that. And I think a lot of the moments in the third act, I feel like it ratcheted up tension the way The Jungle Book just didn't. I never really cared about anything happening in The Jungle Book. And this one, I found myself kind of constantly, you know, emotionally invested.
Yeah. Oh, I thought this was so tense. For me, it was just completely tension-free. I saw everything kind of, I saw when the dart was going to hit him. I mean,
well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, when the fire was going to come. I
had a similar experience. I just, like, the minute it started, I knew exactly what was going to happen. Yeah. There was no, this movie, if you've seen a movie, this movie holds no surprises.
Yeah.
You will know exactly where it's going to go. And in some ways, I kind of hope for that to be a little more satisfying.
Yeah.
But I was pretty ready for this thing to be over.
Well,
for me, I wasn't really interested in what was going on.
For me, I agree with all that, but it was more satisfying for me in comparison to The Jungle Book, which everybody seemed to love, and I just didn't.
Yeah, I loved it. I fall in love with
Me too, and I did not have no expectation for The Jungle Book whatsoever. Yeah. I didn't really want to like it, but I ended up liking it.
Yeah, I didn't have expectations for this one either, and ultimately I'm like, yeah, if I had a kid, I would totally take him to him first day of release. No question. They love it. It's got a lot of good messages that I firmly approve of, aside from the occasional maybe there really are cryptozoological creatures out there. Maybe all those people with facts and science are just got big sticks up their ass.
Bigfoot's out there, man.
I hope so. Idea that all the characters came from, I don't want to say a fractured family, but everybody lost, all the characters have lost loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all sort of experienced the same sort of pain. And they've all sort of, they definitely have overcome that pain. And I like that Disney had a movie like that, where there wasn't, you know, a conventional picture for a family. Well, there sort of was, but they came, you know. Well, Everyone had experienced loss on.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, Disney's famous for having orphans in their films.
Yeah.
But, you know, or at least one parent dead.
Yeah, everybody was an orphan in this movie, essentially. And
I think that's probably one of the things that I felt was lacking from the movies. I didn't get what the dragon was. It didn't really mean anything. It's a very literal movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. Yeah. And I also thought the dragon was kind of boring. Like, it wasn't anything kind of. Do you guys feel that way? Like, I wasn't sort of blown away by it. I thought the design was.
I liked it, but like, JC came out and said, so do you like Toothless better? I was like, oh yeah, I like Toothless better. And not just because Toothless is based on a cat and Elliot is based on a dog and I prefer cats.
Yeah. just in general, yeah, like of the dragons of the last few years, like I fucking love the hell out of Toothless, and yeah, I couldn't really,
just didn't have quite the same amount of squee factor.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe you guys need to watch My Neighbor Totoro a few more times before you build something like this. Because, like, I feel like it needed something more there. Because it is just like the rest of the movie. I mean, it looks good on the whole. It's like the animation, nothing wrong with the animation. It has cute moments, but overall, they just didn't try that hard to make it that distinctive.
It feels like a Disney Channel movie more than actual, like, Disney theatrical.
Well, it's just so middle of the road.
Like you said, there's nothing below the surface to this film at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no subtext. Like, it's so straightforward and so simple that at points it was just so on the nose it was bugging me. Like, there's the whole thing. Like, they want you to get the Pete is bonding now with Bryce Dallas Howard, Grace, in ways that remind him of his mother, to the extent of actually having her speak the only words we've heard the mom say in the beginning of the film. You're like, two sentences that were word for word what she said, and you're like, guys, you really don't need to be quite that, you know, hammer at home.
I didn't think Pete was very interesting either. He's kind of... He didn't have much. He didn't do anything. He wasn't very insightful. He's pretty reactive, not very pro. I was kind of bored.
I think, like, their chemistry was, like, almost non-existent, the two of them. I didn't really feel anything between the kid and the dragon at all.
There wasn't much going on.
Well, except for that one point when he sees him, like, you know, chained up and, you know, pets him a little bit. But
I think that's in the design of the dragon. Like, I think the dragon's so huge and the camera is so, like, right up in its face. Like, you can't see it really emote or anything like that, because all you see is just the one giant tooth and the one chipped tooth and, like, never really smiles and never really does anything other than just kind of, you know, grumble. And even when... just kind of like another thing in comparison to Toothless, like when Pete is in trouble, yeah, Elliot kind of springs to action, but sort of grumbly and not sort of, you don't really buy it. And like in Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon, when he's in trouble, Toothless is like fucking there.
like out of the way.
But kids were buying into it. All the kids around me. They,
I mean,
drank the Kool-Aid.
No,
they
but I can...
It requires very little for them to, I think, be invested. It's got, you know, it's very easy to understand story, and it's pretty visual. Yeah. But, you know, I just think, like, as an adult, like, you know, if I had kids, yeah, I'd probably feel differently about this. I'd probably be like, cool, like, this is a nice movie. It's, you know, it's sweet. It, you know, there's not much to it, you know. Although I will say... The kid is doing a lot of dangerous stuff in the movie. Yeah. He's like climbing on moving cars.
Well, that's
because like
he's a little badass.
Yeah,
in the woods and stuff.
But I wouldn't want to give my kid any ideas. Like, this is perfectly safe, you know.
I did wonder a couple of times, just from like a filmmaking point of view, and like I've worked on a movie with kids, and I know like the rules like for safety and like how long you can shoot with kids. When he's running in the street barefoot and like, you can see his breath, it's like got to be cold where he is. I'm like, that's got to be a big no-no. You can't let kids run around on the street barefoot when it's fucking freezing like that. Like, I don't know. That was just one of my weird.
Maybe it was digitally inserted breath.
Maybe.
Probably not, though.
Yeah. In that same scene, he's like jumping on moving cars, and it's like, I'm sure he had wires and stuff, but it's like, no, man. Don't do that to kids.
Maybe he's like a Grayson. Maybe he was raised in a circus family.
But
you
did
don't
it
know.
Pull y'all out at any time? You're like, that seems unsafe. Don't.
No. No. Not really.
It didn't pull me out of it, but I did
just
kind of...
at all to even invest that much into that.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's enough kids in the world. Yes, I'm a horrible, horrible monster. Frank, why don't you go into your final thoughts?
Well, I really haven't gotten anything with, you know, because I'm tempted to, for my alternatives column this week, to actually recommend the original, because it's far better.
Oh, wow.
But...
Aside from the Helen Reddy soundtrack.
Aside from the Helen Reddy
without
numbers,
ever hearing it again.
Don't need to listen to Candle in the Water ever again.
No.
I will say that this movie, if anything, it reminded me of how much of a soothing and calming presence Robert Redford is, no matter what kind of dialogue he's reciting.
Yeah.
Just be there. Just be there, please.
Movie star.
Yes, exactly. See how the legends do it. Probably give it a... Four
what?
Four stars.
You're just going with stars?
I go stars, yeah.
Okay, no one's ever done stars.
He's just doing. He's going middle of the road like the movie.
Say four thumbs out of ten.
Or flames. Let's go with like four dragon flames.
Okay, fair enough. Rob?
Yeah, I think if you have kids, maybe this movie's great. But as a sort of adult without kids, I wasn't interested in this movie really from the first frame. I thought it was pretty predictable. It was well made, but unexceptional. It's fine, but if I was watching this on TV, I would have changed it. I would have watched something else. So, I can't. Unless you have kids, I think this one's kind of a pass. There's just nothing that special about it. So I would give it. I guess, like it says, well made. Oh, it's pretty bored. 3D was, we saw in 3D, and the 3D was pretty unexceptional as well. It's definitely not
a single reason
that.
For 3D.
Yeah, for 3D and that. I mean, in fact, it probably is distracting. So I would say, I'd give this movie 3 gratuitous sun flares and helicopter shots. that's probably it.
Jay-Z?
So, I mean, I liked it more than you guys did. This is kind of one of those things where, you know, you could unofficially say the last movie of summer was Suicide Squad. And so this is kind of sort of the post-summer...
Oh, we still have Ben-Hur coming up.
Yeah. This is kind of the post-summer, late summer sort of pleasant surprise. I always kind of look for it this time of year. And this pleasantly surprised me. Not anything I would really go to bat for. It's not going to make my top 10 of the year or anything like that. But I did enjoy it for what I thought it was going to be. I wish I would have liked the dragon more, because I like dragons a lot. I think dragons are fucking awesome. And maybe it's because of the design, and maybe because he was a furry dragon. Maybe I didn't really look like a dragon. I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, middle of the road is kind of a good way to describe it. It, again, sort of where your preferences lie on what you think middle of the road is. I mean, I'd give it 6 out of 10 chipped dragon teeth. But, I mean, for me, that's pretty good, but I don't know how often I revisit it. Maybe never, but... yeah, if you have kids, it's great. But it's not going to be the worst thing you see if you find yourself bored and have to go out and see it.
I fall in between you guys, because I didn't really have anything... think there's anything inherently bad about this movie. It's just very short-sighted. It's almost kind of banal in the way that it's not trying to be more than what it needs to be. But that being said, there's never a point that I went, they just didn't care about this at all. I think that maybe Lowry was so just trying to create a movie just from the viewpoint of a real little kid that he just didn't take into account making a film that's accessible on any other level, which I've complained about before, certainly lots of times. But like I said, there's nothing that sticks out here where I went, oh, that was terrible. Just stuff I was like, eh, I just don't care that much about it. There were a few moments that connected with my inner child, as it were, which is always a little close to the surface anyway, which you could tell if you could see my living room. and, you know, I did. I fucking buy into stuff like, see, it's magic. I'm like, yes, it is. But, yeah, there's nothing really strong to recommend this one. I give it 5 out of 10 really gooey sneezes. I did keep thinking, though, with Bryce Dallas Howard there, didn't you want, like, Chris Pratt to come out of the woods and be like...
<He's> like rolling on his motorcycle?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, finding co-stars other than CGI animals.
Still better than Jurassic World. Yeah.